It's Monday, March 23rd. I'm Oscar Ramirez from the Daily Dive podcast in Los Angeles, and this is your daily coronavirus update. Rand Paul has become the first senator to test positive for COVID-19. He is asymptomatic and now in quarantine. This is happening as Congress is working on another financial aid package that could be worth nearly $2 trillion. This would provide help for small businesses, checks for Americans, about $3,000 for a family of four, and enhanced unemployment insurance. And while states try to grapple with the influx of patients, they are still desperately short on masks and protective equipment for medical workers. Some governors are calling for a coordinated national response to the shortage. Ginger Gibson, political reporter for Reuters, joins us for more. Thanks for joining us, Ginger.
Thanks for having me.
Continuing on with all of the coronavirus coverage, the U.S. is now reporting the fourth most coronavirus cases in the world. We're over 27,000 in the country, almost 400 deaths. New York has become kind of this epicenter of COVID-19 with about 45% of the country's total cases there. Governor Andrew Cuomo has been on a lot of the talk shows just talking about how much his state and just kind of in general, I think it's a general feeling around the country that the states and the governors need help there. But I wanted to start off with the new news that we just got. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul has just tested positive for coronavirus. I think he's the fourth member of Congress overall that has this now.
That's right. We now have several members of Congress. Additionally, I know some reporters who cover the Hill that have been tested for it, haven't seen their results yet, but are showing the symptoms and have presumed cases. These folks have been walking around the building with each other for the past week in what can sometimes be very close quarters. So an example of what happens when you're not putting that distance between yourself. Congress, the halls of the United States Capitol are full of people who can transmit diseases to one another. So we've seen that play out. We've seen reports that at least the sick members of Congress who have contracted this disease say they are doing well. They don't have any of the critical symptoms or conditions that have hit other people. But again, as we know, this disease progresses and they'll all be watching their health very closely in the coming days and weeks.
Yeah, Senator Rand Paul, they put out a tweet. They said he's asymptomatic and he was tested out of an abundance of caution due to his travel and everything. And they said they closed their office down about 10 days ago. They've been working remotely, so they don't think that any staffers have been exposed to him while he's had coronavirus. So hopefully the spread is limited there. Let's move on to this financial aid package that Congress is working on. They're saying now it could be up to $2 trillion. That is a lot of money, but they're still going back and forth. I think the last thing I heard was that Nancy Pelosi said they're not just there yet. So everybody's kind of going back and forth. They're still trying to figure it out, but everybody does maintain that this is very bipartisan right now.
They've worked negotiating over the weekend. Everyone has priorities. There are priorities coming from the White House, coming from the Republican-controlled Senate and the Democratic-controlled House. I think it's fair to say we're going to see something passed in the coming days. And I would expect that to be sort of a dual focus piece of legislation here. And dual focus might be a little too simplification of it. This is going to be a very large piece of legislation that appropriates a lot of money. As you suggested, could be $2 trillion. But I think we're going to see something focused on business and something focused on people. So they have been negotiating how to get cash into people's hands, people who are facing real economic hardships, that have lost their jobs, that are struggling, or that the prospect of an illness means they couldn't work and they would be bankrupt in the process. And then we're going to see aid to business. We're going to see help to the airlines and the rest of the travel industry, some type of assistance to small businesses that are having to close down all across the country. So it's going to be very large and very sweeping in what is the most unprecedented shutdown of economic activity and trying to stave off what would be a really devastating economic fallout because of it.
They said that they're trying to make this one last about 10 to 12 weeks. It would tide the economy over for about 10 to 12 weeks. They said direct payments to Americans of about $1,000 to $1,200. Families of four would be getting about $3,000. And as you said, just a bunch of other things, enhanced unemployment insurance, things for small businesses. You mentioned the number again, $2 trillion. Where does this money come from? Is this stuff from the taxpayers? Are they just reapportioning money that we have? How do we get all this money?
this money would be coming onto the United States debt. It would be increasing the U.S. debt. It would be basically borrowing money from the future that the federal government would be responsible for paying back. The argument being that better off to have the federal government, which is capable of taking on this kind of debt, do it now and try to save the economy before it's in a free fall, then wait and then have to deal with it afterwards. There was efforts to try to keep and stave off in 2008 during the financial crisis that led to a recession. There was a lot of pushback that it would increase debt. Not as much money was spent as some people would have liked. There was criticism then that the government didn't do enough to get the economy to recover fast enough. And this is an attempt to try to not repeat that, to say, all right, well, let's put as much money into this as we need to stop this from being another catastrophe.
So that's on the financial front. On the health front, it's still very critical. States across the country are just kind of desperate and angry. They need more and more medical supplies. Hospitals are experiencing a big shortage of masks and other equipment that they need. I mentioned earlier, Governor Andrew Cuomo from New York, he said that states are starting to compete with each other for some of these materials. And he's calling for some type of coordinated national response on all this. Get people to start manufacturing these things more, distribute them to hospitals and states so they have it. So the administration is facing a lot of pressure from the states individually on this.
That's right. We have seen a response to this epidemic that's really been on a state level. More often, state governors putting out responses, telling people what they should and shouldn't be doing before we see it coming at the federal level. And a little bit of a back and forth between governors and the president over who should be sort of helming some of these things. So yes, we're seeing states trying to get the resources their states need at the expense at times of the other states that might be needing them. And as you mentioned earlier, this is not uniform. We're not seeing this epidemic evenly across the country. There are particular areas that are much more hard hit than others. New York City, very hard hit. Parts of Florida, very hard hit. Other places along the East Coast, also hard hit. Seattle, Washington, those are the places that would appear to need these resources more. And they say it shouldn't be left to just who can bid the highest or who can buy the mask the fastest gets these resources.
Ginger Gibson, political reporter for Reuters, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Oscar Ramirez, and this has been your daily coronavirus update. Don't forget that for today's big news stories, you can check me out on the Daily Dive podcast every Monday through Friday. So follow us on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.